Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guest tonight is photographer Jessica Nguyen. She is Associate Professor of Photography at the Fashion Institute of Technology, and we're talking about her book, Do Not Erase, Mathematicians and Their Chalkboards. Jessica, welcome to the show. It's a real pleasure to be talking to you about this book. This is already one of my favorite books this year.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much.
And what surprised me about it is the aesthetic quality of the photographs of the chalkboards. It was like looking at certain abstract artists.
Mm-hmm.
But then the statements by the mathematicians ended up being, to me, just as important, because nobody ever talks to these pure mathematicians, and nobody has any idea what they do. I've interviewed a few on the show, and I consider them to like next to extraterrestrials. So you got to tell me, how did you start on this project?
So I am a professor in New York City at FIT, and in the summers I have off and I go to Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And my neighbors on the Cape are both theoretical mathematicians, and they teach at the University of Chicago. And over the years, I've become very close to them and their family, and I'd always been fascinated by what they do, but still very much an outsider. And I always thought it'd be really interesting to find a way to document their world and their work. And I couldn't quite figure out an entry point.
You asked Benson of Benson Farb. You asked him to explain what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, no, I can't explain it to you.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, no, I can't really. So I'd always been sort of almost envious of this mysterious world. They're just very curious about this world that they exist in. And so for years, I was trying to figure out, how can I document their work as an outsider? And around the same time, I was taking my students from FIT to India on a study abroad trip. And we were in Rajasthan in northern India. And I took them to an elementary school. And on the roof of the schoolhouse, there were chalkboards that surrounded the whole perimeter of the roof. And they were all filled with lessons in Hindi, a language which is foreign to me. And somehow something kind of clicked and resonated. And I felt like the writings that I saw in Amy and Benson's notebooks, that they kind of jot down their mathematical work, it somehow reminded me of the Hindi on the chalkboards.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that clearly, yeah.
Yeah, and I just thought, this is really interesting, and I thought maybe that would be a good way to document their work, because most of the mathematicians that I ended up meeting and photographing their work, chalkboards are a really important part of their the way that they work and collaborate and create and teach. So I thought that could be visually really interesting as well, to document the work that they do on their chalkboards. So I approached them and said, you know, what do you think? Can I photograph your work in this way? And they were open to it. And it was almost as if they already knew. I mean, they're very much aware of the beauty of math and the aesthetics of math. So it seemed like they were just like, yeah, of course, we get it. We get what you're, you know, we get what you're after. We already know. We already know how beautiful it is. So it was like this kind of instant, it worked. And then I ended up just through introductions from them, I ended up meeting their friends and colleagues, and then I just started reaching out and contacting people on my own. So that's sort of how the project was born.
The photographs are beautiful in a really unique way, though. they represent sort of the work, the most abstract work, I think, that is done on this planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're making physical marks to communicate some of those ideas, although there are some weird exceptions throughout the book. There's poetry. There's some really funny stuff. And it's strange to contemplate them, because I find myself copying some of the work on paper just so that I get a better feeling for it.
Oh, that's interesting.
But then when you read the statements of the mathematicians, which are opposite the photographs, mm-hmm. you sort of walked into a weird world of chalkboard appreciation.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have any idea that that was like that?
I didn't. You know, it was, again, this is such a, my only kind of, my only real connection to this world were my neighbors, Amy Wilkinson and Benson Farb, and they, and, you know, I hadn't really known that, that sometimes obsession with the chalk and the board and, you know, it's really, it's their main tools. And I kind of, the more I photographed and the more I got to know these mathematicians, I realized, like, it's very similar to what they do, from my perspective, it was very similar to an artist in the sense that if you're a painter and you work with oil paint or you work with a certain brush, that's your, those are your tools for expression
right.
and creation.
Right.
And it's very similar to how these mathematicians work. They can't, they, and I also felt this kind of urgency, like these are maybe the last generation of mathematicians that grew up with this analog, this analog tool, their main tool for, you know, and I'm in that world too. I'm the age where I grew up with no computers. You know, we were,
me too.
I was typing on a typewriter. And so I think about, like, it's almost like this, felt this urgency to document the work that this, and I hope that people continue to use chalkboards. But
well, according to these mathematicians, there's no substitute, not even white.
Yeah.
Some of them are like defiant that even whiteboard is
yeah,
not the same.
Boards. And I actually came across a couple of people that I'd scheduled to photograph their boards. They had whiteboards, and I quickly said, no, I don't want to. I actually, but the majority of them, I'd say two people out of 150 had whiteboards. So, and there were certain institutions where they'd actually come in and replace the chalkboards with whiteboards, and mathematicians had brought their own chalkboard and kind of plastered it over the whiteboard in protest because they, you know, it's just that that's their tool. And I think that one of the interesting things that I learned about, you know, their process of working is the way that the type of chalk that they use.
Oh, the trust me. I went to the Hagoromo website.
Okay. Yeah. So you know.
So we have to talk about this because there's this legendary chalk. It was originally made in Korea. It's now made in. Originally made in Japan. Now made in Korea. Mm-hmm. That when I put that down on my Facebook site, people who were mathematicians or physicists, or had sons and daughters that were mathematicians, they knew all about it. That they had like private stores of this. So talk about this mm-hmm. chalk.
Yeah.
Did you get to use it?
Special chalk. I got to use it, and I actually went to an event kind of pre-pandemic where they gave little cases of this chalk as little gifts, and I was so happy to have it because I understood and kind of was able to appreciate why this is important. Firstly, it's coated with this sort of, it's very thin coating that protects your hands from getting chalky. And there's a certain, the way the chalk is just very smooth and kind of silky, the way it, when you put it on the board. I mean, it's really like, and people, when the company went out of business in Japan and it was purchased by a Korean company, there were mathematicians that were buying cases of it, like cases. So they'd have it in storage in their basement.
They have a film on their website that actually interviews mathematicians who have done that. And it reminds me of the Seinfeld episode with Elaine and her birth control, her sponge, because
oh, yeah.
they open up these like these things and it's piled high with boxes of Hagoromo.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. So it just shows like the tools are really important. And I think, you know, a lot of, and multiple times people in talking about like the importance of using the chalkboard, they often mention how the way you think, the way your mind works
right.
and creates is more closely aligned to the movement of your hand, like physically moving through space and time, as opposed to working on a computer where the information is so much faster than when than how your brain works. So like just the physical act of moving through space, like moving your hand on a large board. And so there's the element of time. There's the element of like the physicality of this large object hanging on a wall that you can live with. You know, there were certain mathematicians that had work up there for years that they were working on. They didn't want to erase, so they could sort of revisit it and look at it every day. And it's similar also to, like, I mean, for me, looking at most of these boards, I, like you, you know, saw them as abstract art. You know, my connection to them as a non-mathematician was very much appreciating the aesthetics and the beauty of the way the chalk looks on the board. And I actually didn't mind really not knowing the math of it. And I felt like I kind of liked that it was a mystery and it was something that's not accessible to me. And it's not accessible to the majority of the planet. And I think that was interesting as well. It's this very small kind of microcosm of genius that all, you know, they have this special language that only exists in their world. So it wasn't that I was trying to understand or pretend to understand the intricacies of their work, but I kind of felt like I was this sort of friendly translator in a way, showing the beauty of it. And also one of the reasons I wanted to have them write about their work was to give a little context to show, you know, either their connection to working on a chalkboard or their work, the math that was actually on the board, or why they became a mathematician, to kind of bring some, you know, to humanize it in a way, to show that these are people that are making work and they exist in the world, and just to sort of bring light to their kind of somewhat secret universe.
Yeah, let's talk about the photographs first before we talk about their statements. And that's what makes, I think, this book so unique. It's a combination of a art photography book, but it's also offers the reader tremendous insights into how these people think and how they work. But talking about the photographs, first of all, I love people who use different colors chalk, because the different color chalk really adds a lot to the visual experience. But then I find myself looking at tiny details, like on the tray of what they've left behind, or if there's a desk. And I think they're from Brazil. There's photographs where the chalkboard is framed by tropical rainforest because it's through the window.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that gave a whole different perspective and opened up the chalkboard. But the way that people lay down their maths or their symbols or their illustrations is totally unique to each person. And when you think about it, writing on a chalkboard is really, it's not like writing on a pad of paper. You have to typically write larger than you do normally. And so each thing was so unique. It was like a fingerprint. But then there's another visual quality to the chalkboard. And I want to hear you as a photographer talk about this. The erasures were a whole element because they are these weird ghostly things that are in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I found those just as fascinating as the visual part of the project.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I really loved. I mean, it's interesting because in watching, you know, now hundreds of mathematicians write on the boards, often for me, you know, for the photograph, it almost felt like this kind of narrative unfolding, and watching sort of the layers and the eraser marks, and then you can kind of see time passing through the boards, which I thought was really interesting. And they also felt very performative way, because they're...
It is like a performance piece.
It is. It's very much like a performance. And, you know, if you're teaching, obviously it is a performance. You're performing and there's energy and there's motion. And it's really interesting to watch them work on the boards. But also, even if it's just for a collaborator, there's the implication of an audience, because the board is up on the wall. And as you said, you have to write larger and you're trying to connect with someone else. And I think that that performative element is really fascinating.
It really is. One of the mathematicians talked about that that by watching somebody write it on a chalkboard, the process is slowed down, that's the way we think. So it's the best way to learn these very difficult maths. I can see that. And they also were talking about what they do as often, not always, a collaborative effort. And therefore, two or three or more of them would be working on a problem. And chalkboards are really good for that because they go, what about this? And then the other person would go, no, and then erase part of it. And then, no, what about that? And the chalkboard becomes this dynamic form of communication that's not simply writing. It's also about erasure.
Yes, it's also about erasure. And I think that that's one of the things that really separates it even from just a pencil and a paper, you know, because it's so easy to play and kind of play around with ideas and work with someone and know that, okay, maybe I'm going down the wrong path. It's so easy just to erase it. So there's no sense of permanence. And I think that's one of the interesting things about photographing the boards, because like a photograph is the antithesis of that, right? It's sort of photographing these sort of ephemeral things that are constantly in flux and motion. And to kind of freeze it in the moment, you're sort of capturing just like this one element of this amorphous thing. And I think one of the things I was talking to Benson about the project, and I said, you know, what was like surprising to you or what was interesting to you about looking at the pictures? And he said he'd never really thought about them as like static objects, because they have such a different relationship with the chalkboard, and it's constantly like I said, like a narrative, this kind of story unfolding over time. And you're right. People are when they're working with their collaborators, it's very energetic. Like people are jumping up, racing, adding things. And
wow.
You know, it's really kind of amazing. And I feel like you can see the energy in the in the way that they're working or erasing or the marks on the board. And you can also see it's almost like portraits in a way. I feel like they're very reflective of who the people are, their style of working. Some are really like neat and clean. And,
and other ones, you know, really aren't.
Considered. And some are just like this explosion of thought and chaotic. And
I love those boards. I love the boards that go edge to edge. And there's just writing all over the place in different sizes. It's like, geez.
Yeah. I know there was one mathematician that I photographed at Columbia, and his board was so filled, his name is Shua Wang, and he actually ended up, and it was a board that was in his apartment, and he ended up like extending it out onto the wall. So it kept going. I was like, it was amazing. It's like he just started drawing on the wall.
I know that. I know that photograph from the book. And he was the one that also said the blackboard is the mathematician's treasure map. And that's like one of the other things that came up when they talked about what they were doing. They talked about like climbing a mountain and trying, you know, and then some of these problems go on for years. Some of them, they're problems from decades and sometimes over 100 years ago that have not been solved. And they're just sort of chipping away at it on the blackboard.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Yeah, some spend their entire lifetime without having a breakthrough.
I can't imagine what that's like. That to me seems like incredibly unsatisfying.
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the people that I photographed for this book, they've already had one breakthrough sorts. You know, they're all pretty much have established themselves in the mass community. And so I think, but even to have one breakthrough in your lifetime is huge.
It's got to be.
And you're always kind of searching for that.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guest tonight is photographer Jessica Nguyen. She is Associate Professor of Photography at the Fashion Institute of Technology. And we're talking about her book, which is deeply beautiful, but also really fascinating intellectually. Mathematicians and Their Chalkboards. One of the things that I found funny were the ones where they either wrote poetry or they did something else weird. I think is Tadashi Takeda.
Oh, yes.
They're this That should be a poster. He did this weird thing where there are two dots, chalk dots. One is just a circle and the other one is filled in. The one that's filled in is blank, dark. It represents black. But the one that's empty is the one that represents white.
So, but it's on a blackboard, so
I know. It's just sort of so weird. Joke. It's like a Magritte painting.
He's like the mathematicians will get it. So the black dot is, you know, represent. He's like, I never understood why this represents white, and then the white dot represents black because it's filled in. But yeah, it's very minimal, and it's definitely not math, but it's representing.
It's,
you know,
it's a little bit
something.
Surrealist, is what it is.
Yeah, it's surrealist, and it felt very, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of these, the photographs felt very, they're very collaborative, you know, because this was something he did for the picture. So it was sort of this inside math joke. But yeah, it was surprising. A few people didn't end up writing formulas, but that was one of my favorite photographs.
Philip Ording for Sarah Lawrence actually did this weird thing on how not to draw a sphere.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. That was amazing to actually to watch him do the sphere because he extended his arm out to create this kind of circle, this perfect circle. And I think it was interesting also to hear the stories, you know, to hear the stories behind each, why they chose to do that particular drawing,
I know,
and why, how they were connected to that and why it was meaningful to them.
Right. Some of them went back to their big breakthrough of equations or concepts. Mm-hmm. And then they just sort of repeated that as that this is the thing I'm going to be known for.
Yeah.
Exactly. Other ones were problems that they're working on now or some other great problem. Some of them were really fascinating. Sahar Khan from Columbia University did this rows of knots.
Mm-hmm.
And those were visually absolutely stunning. That was a beautiful chalkboard.
Yeah, that was really, I loved Sahar Khan's board. And she was interesting the way she was doing it. She wanted to do knot theory. And so she did this series of knots that kind of progressively each one crossed at an additional point. And, but she wanted to make them perfect. So she was drawing each knot and then kind of erasing where she drew and then redrawing it. So each knot has this little cloud of eraser around it. So they're sort of like, they feel like they're kind of floating in the space.
By the way, is there a special name for that cloud of something erased on a chalkboard?
You know, there probably is. I'm not sure what it's called, but
they're not necessarily just cloud looking. Sometimes entire boards have these mysterious wipe marks, and they lend, each work has a different set of them, and they interact with the things that are on the board in very different ways. And in a couple of cases, the light from like sort of the outside streams across the chalkboard, and that creates a totally different effect too.
Yeah, the light. I mean, I only used available light for the project, so I didn't bring any lights in, and that was important to me because I wanted to.
Wow.
I really wanted this to be about the work on the board, and I wanted them. I shot them all in a very straightforward way, so the frame of the board dictated how I framed the photograph. And as you mentioned, like in Brazil, I wanted to include some more of the environment to show that this is, you know, it's interesting because no matter where you are in the world, it's the same. It's math is a universal language. And so in some cases I pulled back and showed the space around. In some cases I just wanted to see the work on the board, but the light was either, sometimes it was natural, like sunlight coming through the window.
Yeah.
Oftentimes I was in a small room, like an office with just fluorescent lights. But I thought that was also really interesting. Just the way the light reflected.
What were you? Can I ask you what you were shooting? Like,
I was shooting with a what camera? I was shooting with the Fujifilm GFX 50R, the medium format digital mirrorless. So it has a really nice, and I'm actually printing now for a show. I'm going to have a show of this work in the fall in New York at Edwin Hauck Gallery. And so it's been really fun to print these.
How large are the prints?
Some of them are pretty large. I wanted them, they're not life size, but I just printed one that's like 80 inches by 45 inches. So pretty big.
They're exquisite photographs. I mean, they're just that sort of weird clarity to the on the chalkboard is sort of an interesting juxtaposition because the chalkboards are really messy. Mm-hmm, and to see mm-hmm. these ultra clean prints.
Yeah, I wanted them. It was important for me to have a super crisp, like really sharp resolution because I wanted the experience for the viewer to look when they look at the photographs printed on the hanging on the wall to have this sort of strange feeling of, am I looking at a chalkboard or am I looking at a photograph of a chalkboard? So I sort of wanted to replicate them so they felt very, very real, hyper real. And so I'm excited to see them all hanging up in the show this fall.
What I love is when they're talking about what they're working on. Mm-hmm. And they'll give you the name of something. There was the twin prime conjecture, the mm-hmm. Cartan Hodemand conjecture, Dido's problem. Sounds like episodes from Big Bang Theory or yeah. a Sherlock Holmes short story. But they just sort of assume that you will know enough about it. Yeah, I ended up spending a lot of time just going online and like looking this stuff up mm-hmm. and trying to get some sort of idea, which is helpful to do, by the way. But
yeah, I think it's interesting because I wanted, you know, again, like as an outsider, I kind of felt like this translator, you know, bringing people
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it's exactly what
outside.
You're doing.
And I wanted it. I didn't want them to write in super technical language to alienate the audience, but I also
it's not,
wanted them.
It's not, but they say what they're working on. You'll just not
yeah,
understand.
What they're working on, and I wanted it to be sort of, you know, because it's also like this, hopefully there's a large math audience that will get the book, but also people that are interested in
I think a wide range of people are going to love these photographs and the book itself.
Oh, thank you.
I really hope that because it gives you an idea into a very interesting group of people. We're completely out of time. My guest tonight is Jessica Nguyen, photographer. She's associate professor of photography at the Fashion Institute of Technology. And we're talking about her book. It is, I think, one of my favorite books that combines art and technology and science. Do Not Erase, Mathematicians and Their Chalkboards. And by the way, Do Not Erase is an actual sign that they can put up on their chalkboard, asking you not to erase them. Jessica, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. Good night.